Podtacular, episode 308, PAX Prime 2012 for September 5th, 2012.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dustorm. And with me this week, we have two people that joined me at PAX Prime this year, which was August 31st through September 2nd. For you guys that didn't get to go, you missed out on a lot, especially a lot of cool Halo stuff. But today, I have two people that we're going to talk about PAX in general. We're going to get to some Halo 4 stuff later in the week. But for now, we have Halo Source.
Hey, how's it going? You guys all probably know me as Crazy by Default on...
Or Crazy by Default.
Everywhere. Everywhere but Twitter.
Indeed. And then we have Midget Dance from Hillary's Tricks.
Hello. Hello there.
It's been a while since you've been on the show. How you been?
Been good. It's good to be back on. It's fun.
Very nice. So, first impressions of PAX Prime. What do you guys think?
Hell yes. those are the two words that I've been using to sum up everything for PAX.
Hell yes.
That was my first PAX, and my God, going to it next year, it's going to be hard to top it. It was incredible.
Was this your first PAX?
It was, yeah.
All right, that's why. The first one was always a big one.
PAX is amazing, yeah. But Friday was the best day of my entire damn life.
Yeah, yep.
For reasons we can't go into.
Yep.
Well, other stuff happened that day, too, that was just incredible. In the line for the thing we can't go into, something amazing happened that nobody else in line noticed, because I was the only one that plays League of Legends.
Uh-huh.
But the most famous player in League of Legends walked by everyone, totally lost. He thought the buses that were, like, in the tunnel were going to his hotel or something. So I walked up and I got him to sign something, and he was just like, oh God, I'm so lost, I'm not going to get home.
That's funny. Yeah, I bet people that were walking by were like, what's going on here?
Yeah, he was super confused.
Yeah, I had a feeling a lot of people probably would be. So, for the most part, I stared around the Xbox and the Halo stuff. So, I'm going to be relying on you two for kind of the input on the rest of the show floor.
Yeah, I spent also kind of most of my time, especially, you know, on the last day, I spent most of my time around the Halo booth as well. But, like, for the first day, I spent basically all of my time wandering on the show floor, lost, by myself. So I was like, oh, God, where do I go? How do I get out of here? And I get this text message saying, dude, you forgot to pay for breakfast, and so I have to rush back downstairs. And, yeah, it was...
Oh, yeah.
It was hectic that first day. But, yeah, I spent most of my time wandering around the Halo 4 booth, and then kind of wandered off, played some super crazy awesome indie games that many
yeah,
of
so
which...
Give us a rundown of some of the stuff that you saw.
I played one called The Scapegoat, and like I said, you are a goat, and goats are awesome. that was his reasoning. We asked him, so why a goat? And that was his reasoning behind it, was, dude, it's a goat. Why would you not use a goat for an indie game? And your partner in crime is a mouse. Well, you basically...
That's an interesting combination.
Yeah, yeah. And so you're the goat, and you are wandering around. It's... Damn it. How do I describe it? You're in a third-person view, but you're just viewing the map rather than the camera following the person. Or, well, the goat, I should say.
Okay.
And you're trying to get through all of these hazards and trying to open doors and stuff. And the mouse, you can send him out and he will like crawl up walls and stuff, and he's just done entirely automatic. So he'll crawl up walls and he can get through places that you cannot reach and like say grab keys or grab other items. And it was definitely retro-y, and just the overall style of it was definitely very retro, but it played well, and I'm definitely gonna have to pick it up.
Out of five?
So is it more like an adventure type game or
more like puzzle?
Okay.
Yeah. It was
sounds interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I was wondering how you would classify something like that.
Is it going to be on Steam?
He's trying to get a Steam contract, but it's going to be on Xbox Live Arcade, and I think he said it's going to be free to play on the browser through HTML5.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yep.
A lot of good games that start out like that, like Happy Wheels.
Oh my god.
Oh goodness.
Love that game.
Yeah. Happy Wheels just seems a little weird to me. I don't know if that's just me or...
It is weird. That's like... That's the number one way you can describe that game.
And see, that's part of the reason why I like it, is because it's just so bizarre. Like, you would never think that getting a harpoon through the face would be so entertaining, but that game makes it entertaining.
I guess the same could have been said for, like, the weirdness of Bulletstorm, although I've never played it, but some of the guns in there, like, I've seen some gameplay of it, and it's just... It's an interesting concept with having the different kind of stuff in there, but all in all, it's just a different experience, I guess, is the polite way to put it. So, what was it called again?
Escape Goat.
Escape Goat.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I'm surprised it took so long for that name to be taken.
Yeah, I know. Quick Google search, and it's the first thing that came up. I was like, whoa.
It wouldn't seem like something very common that you would normally think of, though, so...
Yeah.
Because Scapegoat, and then...
And, yeah, that was another thing I noticed as I was walking away. I was like, oh, I didn't even realize the wordplay he had on that.
Yeah,
but that's,
Scapegoat.
That's pretty clever.
Oops. All right, so anything else kind of stuck out to you?
That I suck at other games besides Halo?
Wow.
I would randomly walk up to some, other booth. Like, I played Tribes, and that game is, like, such a fast shooter that I was just like, I don't know what to do. I do not know what to do. And part of it was also because I'm not much of a PC gamer. Yeah, laugh at me, but, yeah, PC gaming is not a huge thing. So all of a sudden, this mouse and keyboard combination, in addition to this new game that I had never played before, it made me realize that I suck at gaming.
Well, it could just be computer gaming, because how much computer gaming do you normally do?
None, besides Minesweeper.
Yeah, so
none.
Yeah. So, I mean, it might just be the PC game aspect that you suck at.
Yeah. I also played another one. If you heard, like, the cool, guitar riffs and drums and stuff off by the Halo 4 booth, I played the game that was 2. It's a fighter flight sim, and overall, like, it was a very cool design, but... And I'm also a big flight sim person, going to college to study aerospace engineering. So obviously I like planes. So
wow.
I thought, why not combine, planes?
Aerospace and engineering. Talk about rocket scientist.
Yep. It's not rocket science. Oh, wait. Yeah. I actually am a rocket scientist.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah. So that was kind of fun. Normal matches last 30 minutes and I died in 2. So that was interesting.
All right.
Do you have to wait to respawn then for 28 minutes or what?
Nope, you just leave the match. At least in the custom game. I'm air quoting here. Custom game.
Custom game?
Yeah.
All right. Custom game. That's an interesting way to put it. So, one of the things I saw actually is they had a Kinect Fable game. I forget what the new game's called. It's Fable something, but it's like Kinect controlled now. And actually, Freddy W. Gang, huh?
Fable the Journey,
possibly.
Yeah.
I haven't posted the video for it, so I'm not exactly sure what it is. But the Freddy W. crew, the guys that on that channel, so Clint, Freddy, and Brandon were actually there. At the booth playing it, so I got to meet up with them for a few minutes and watch some of the gameplay for the Fable Kinect game. It's actually pretty cool. Some of the gestures that they have for, like, casting spells and everything was actually kind of intriguing. It made me kind of want to sit down and play it, but granted, I was more distracted by Halo 4. So I think that was pretty much the only other thing I went to go see. There was an Asus booth that they had. You could do a speed run for building a computer, and you could enter into a drawing to win either a motherboard or a sound card. And other than the fact that I have big hands and those screws are freaking tiny, I was making, like, I killed about a good 40, 45 seconds just trying to put, like, the first three screws in because just of how big my hands are to those small screws. But I got it to where I only had to put, so for anyone who's built their own PC before, you know how much effort it goes into, like, putting it all together and
yeah,
and getting all the components set up. So for this, they had the processor already on the motherboard, so you didn't have to worry about that. But you had to plug in the RAM, the graphics card. You had to put the power in there. You had to put a CD drive and an SSD in there. So the best time that they had there currently was like 3:40, and then the second place was 4:09. So I hit 4:09 with only having to put the CD drive in and the hard and the SSD, and I could have probably put those in 30 seconds. So if it wasn't for the dang small screws, I probably would have gotten second place.
That's impressive.
So those are the other two things that I kind of did.
Yeah, I walked around a lot, but the show floor just wasn't as impressive as last year. Like, last year you had tons of big games coming out, but this year it's kind of like, well, there's Halo 4, and then there's Assassin's Creed 3, which I kind of care about.
Yeah.
And well, then there's nothing else, yeah. So I might as well just wander Indie Corner.
So the Assassin's Creed booth was exactly the same as the one at PAX East, which I went to. I'm assuming the video they showed in there was probably a newer video.
They actually had some gameplay go on. What I heard was last year at PAX East, it was in New York, and this year it was in Boston.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's going to be in Boston for the next, 11 years? 10 years?
I think so, yeah.
Boston.
Anyway, it's kind of cool to watch. There was nothing too, super spectacular. It's basically going to be, Green Skull and I were just talking about this, standing in line, was that Brotherhood and Revelations, they didn't have anything that was super incredible that, made you want to keep going back for more. And I feel that AC3 is going to be kind of the same way, which, sticking to what
AC
works.
AC has a good story. The story for Assassin's Creed is very well done.
It is, yeah.
The multiplayer is a nice addition to it, and it's cool, but it doesn't have the appeal that Call of Duty or Halo has.
Yeah, yeah. And I can respect them for sticking with, what has worked in the past for them. And I guess it's kind of weird, with Halo 4 coming out and they're undergoing these, super incredible changes and taking a different direction from past games, which... I'm absolutely in love with, and then looking at Assassin's Creed 3, and I'm like, oh, this is the same. Like, it was a little bizarre for me to, see the juxtaposition of those two, but it was, I can respect them for sticking with their guns and going with what works.
Yeah. Well, they've been showing off a lot of stuff, too, with the combat at sea and the new movement system that they have in there, and the fact that this revolves around the American Revolution.
Yeah.
And there's sirens outside.
Yeah, I still haven't beaten the first one all the way through, so I stayed away from it.
I haven't either. I've played
their
two.
Their booth was very impressive.
I've played two Brotherhood and Revelations, and I've started playing one, but I have not gotten through it yet.
Yeah, I've played all of them, actually. I played one and two just kind of as a little glance over, just picked it up and played it for a little bit, and then I've actually gone through and really dived into Brotherhood and Revelation. But,
very nice. You said you went and saw the League of Legends tournament, Midget Dance.
Oh, yeah.
So that was pretty much the biggest tournament that was at PAX this year. And that was on the main floor in one of the big back rooms, right? I'm assuming that's where that was.
No, it wasn't on the main floor. It's all the way up at the sixth floor, and sixth floor has two theaters, and then a giant theater, like, way in the back of it, and that's where it was. So
okay. What was the thing on the fourth floor over by, like, the swag stuff?
I don't know what it was. There was a Dota 2 tournament going on there as well.
Maybe that's what it was.
It could have been that, but I'm assuming that not that many people went to that one, since Dota 2 isn't nearly as big in esports as League of Legends.
Right. League of Legends is almost up there on the popularity of StarCraft now.
It's overtaken StarCraft. It's number one.
Oh, really?
StarCraft. Yeah, StarCraft has been out for how long now?
2 years?
Over StarCraft 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. StarCraft 1 has been like, what, like 10 years? Over 10?
Yeah. StarCraft 2, I want to say 2 years or maybe a little more than 2 years. Something I don't exactly like remember.
It's something like that, yeah. But the League of Legends tournament was insane. I saw Morgan Webb there, like 2 feet away from me, which is weird.
Nice.
And then like I was watching the tournament, and I happened to be standing like in a spot where she walked in after I was standing there. But then, like, a little Morgan Webb mob formed and totally blocked my view of the tournament. And it was really annoying because I'm looking straight up at the screen and there's a mob of people in front of me looking sideways at Morgan Webb. I'm like, get out of here.
That sucks.
Yep.
So has anyone really had a chance to look at, was it Firefall?
I have no idea what that game is, but it's always like the most promoted game there.
Yeah, see, neither do I. I mean, I saw the ad for it, like, back in the spring, but...
Yeah, that's
they had something at the VGAs about it, too.
Dude, it was at PAX last year, and it was huge.
It was?
I thought it was. I remember a booth...
Well, I spent all my time at Halo Fest last year. I saw it at PAX East.
It was at PAX Prime last year, and it was, like, just as big. So I don't know when that game's coming out, but holy crap, they're pouring some money into it. They must be expecting it to be huge if they're willing to promote it this much.
I guess. If it's anything like Brink was, though. I'm not trying to say that they're going to be like that, but I don't know. Firefall to me just doesn't... it doesn't click for me, I guess.
I just don't know what it is.
It's a first person... It's kind of like a futuristic first person shooter type thing. I don't remember the details about it, because the only media I've really seen is from the VGAs, and that was a long time ago.
Wikipedia! Okay.
They were promoting so much, they were promoting by the Paramount Theater. They had this giant truck that looked like a giant robot laying down or something, I guess. And it was just playing, like, Daft Punk and techno every time we went to the Paramount Theater. I don't know what was going on over there, but they were promoting, like, 2 blocks away from PAX.
Oh, yeah. When I went to the Brewster Teeth panel, yeah, they had this huge truck, like, decked out and free ball stuff. And
isn't there a truck that goes around PAX that has, like, those ads on it?
I think that might be it.
It's probably that truck.
But how come... This was something that really confused me. Why... 2 things, actually. The Halo 4 booth itself was, like, I thought it was going to be huge, like, as big as the Assassin's Creed booth, just promoting Halo. But it was in, like, a corner of the Microsoft booth. And then the Halo 4 panel, which was awesome, wasn't in the Paramount. Like...
No, it was in the Pegasus Theater.
What was up with that?
That was weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because that theater got full quickly.
Yeah, like, it really should have been in the Paramount. They had the Halo 4 panel in the Paramount last year, and it filled up. And that year was the year when it was just, well, we can't talk about that for an hour straight. This year, they showed so much cool footage and everything.
There was Halo Fest.
I didn't get it.
We watched that RIDAR probably...
Dang.
5 times over. And... Only in a room full of Halo nerds would there be zero objections to stopping and being like, hey, let's watch it again. Sure thing. And yeah, that panel was amazing.
That panel was awesome. And for those of you who did not get to go to PAX, we actually have the full panel up on our YouTube. And I think we're the only ones that do have it, to be honest. So if you go to youtube.com/podtacktv, or you can do or you can just do podtacular.com/YouTube. The latest video up there right now is the full hour-long panel. So make sure you go check it out, because there's some pretty cool stuff in there that wasn't not shown in some of the Vidocs that have been released since then. So make sure you go check that out. Any other games that kind of stuck out to people? I know I saw the Assassin's Creed booth, so I didn't really go see it again this time around.
Bit Trip Runner 2. That looked fun. It's an indie game. If you haven't checked out Bit Trip Runner, it's really fun.
All right. Bit Trip Runner. Anything else?
Well, not games, but booths. Just Mega 64 and Rooster Teeth booths were fun. If you go to a PAX, check them out. They're at every one.
All right.
Yeah, no games really stood out to me this year except Halo 4.
Well, I think that's what everyone was primarily there for.
Yeah.
The show floor itself at PAX was just like, I don't know, compared to last year, it wasn't as
good, I never went up to the show floor. Was it basically the same size as it was last year?
It was the same size, it was the same size, yeah, because it's the same event hall, but it was, there were bigger games there and more impressive booths for the games, because Skyrim had an awesome giant dragon statue, and Star Wars had all these panels where you could watch people playing the game.
I do remember seeing the dragon. Yeah. That was pretty cool. And they had little smaller ones, right?
I think so. But I don't know. The show floor itself wasn't like the main event of PAX this year. This year it was just like Halo 4, League of Legends.
Right. So we have Seam Nearer in the call now.
Hello.
Hello, Chris. Oh.
Hi.
Greetings.
Konnichiwa. Hello.
Is that Liz too?
No. That's still me.
Liz is in Florida.
Okay. Chris is just throwing out his feminine voice.
Dude, exactly. Chris is like all alone.
I know, the basement's empty.
Oh no.
The man cave.
The man cave is empty. It was probably pretty full last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You had Scott Nemo Kid, Deuce McGee, and Midget Dance all in your house.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was planning to murder them, but they left too soon.
That couch is pretty comfortable.
Sucks though. I cleaned up today and I was just walking around in this basement. It's just so quiet and eerie now and dark, and I'm the only one here.
I took your Liz away. Ha 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 ha. I took your Liz away to Florida.
To Disney. Florida.
Yep.
At least the weather's probably nice in Florida.
No.
Nope.
No.
That's all Liz has been complaining about, is how hot it is and how she's sweating like from walking outside just for like a second.
Yeah, that's Florida.
It cannot be as bad as Houston.
It's the same type of weather.
Yeah.
Humid and hot.
From people I talk to, it's not as bad as Houston. Because, I mean, Florida doesn't have as much persistent humidity as Houston does.
The second we got off the plane and got to an area that was outside, it was like Liz had been punched in the face by the humidity, and she was like, "What the hell?"
Yep, humidity will do that to you. So we were just talking about all the stuff that we went around to see other than Halo. So was there anything else that you went to go see, Chris, that stood out to you?
Bit Trip Runner 2 was pretty cool. I saw that booth.
Yes.
I'm actually pretty excited for that game. What else did I see? I walked around the indie section for a while and kind of just picked up random things. I looked at Toki Tori 2, which looks pretty interesting. I got the beta for that. This game called Delver's Drop that I have a card for looks pretty cool.
Delver's Drop? What's that about?
I have no idea. I can't even remember, but it looked cool, so I picked up a pamphlet.
It looks cool.
That's all
it needs to qualify. It looks cool.
If I kept a card for it, it must have been good enough to grab one of these things that don't matter. That's just an appetizer.
It must have been awesome.
Oh, actually, on the card it tells you what it is. An evolution of the 2D action RPG with fluid movement, snappy combat, shifting dungeons, and a rogues gallery of character classes that can be individually leveled. Well, there you go.
Side-scroller shooter?
It's kind of like, it's an indie game, so it's not like your typical game. It's kind of like, like
what?
Side scroller, but not side scroller. It has that kind of graphical look.
Toki Tori, or which one?
Delver's Drop.
Oh.
Toki Tori is a side scroller.
Yeah. That's like Mario.
Okay. Have you ever seen Dungeons of Dreadmore or whatever? It's kind of that kind of look and feel. That kind of.
I'm not sure what that is.
It's like a. Okay, it's like. Terraria or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
That kind of like sense. That, but not completely side scroll.
Alright. I can relate with Terraria. So, I guess we're just the big title games not that popular this year because it seems like you guys were interested in a lot of the indie games.
It was all sequels, and it's like...
That's true. That's true.
It's just not as exciting, because sequels, there's nothing new in gameplay, really, for sequels. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just going to be kind of different. It's not going to be, like, a completely new thing that you're super excited for.
And with that, most of the lines for everything were super long, so I was like, I'm not even going to bother. I mean, Assassin's Creed 3 looks really cool, but I'm not going to stand in line to play it when it comes out soon.
Whereas in Indie Corner, they're like... In Indie Corner, they're like, hey, you want to maybe stick around and play the whole game? You can come back later, eat lunch at the booth or something. You just hang out, man. Like, they're desperate for people. And they're super nice.
That's kind of why I loved hanging around there, was just because you could just walk up and pick up a controller and start playing, and they'd just run up and talk. You'd be like, hey, yeah, you know. Rather than it just being sales representatives like at big title games, it was the actual developer himself talking about it.
They're so proud of it. They just want you to see more of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, cool. I played through one level of BitTrip, and then I put down the controller to leave, and he's like, hey, you know, there's more of the game. You can play the whole thing if you want. And he's like, oh, you're gonna come back later? That's pretty funny.
Wow. I'm glad that they're there really trying to get you involved, but that is kind of a little desperate. No offense. Did anyone get to go to the Minecraft booth? Because I actually never got a chance to go.
I never even went to that floor.
but it was kind of like a museum of Minecraft memorabilia stuff. And like a,
oh, that's cool.
And then they also was showing off this mod or something that was like Minecraft, but like an FPS style Minecraft.
Green Skull dragged me up there, and he was just like, dude, come with me. So I did, because I had nothing else to do. And I saw that, and I was like, dude, you found your next YouTube series. You do both Halo and Minecraft. Why not do them both together? And
well, the thing is, the mod's probably for the PC version, and he plays the Xbox version of Minecraft.
It was for the PC version, but like, it was still bizarre looking. It was like, it was cool, but it was weird at the same time.
Yeah, that's weird for Minecraft.
yeah.
All right, interesting. So, any big name stuff that you guys saw? Since we covered the indie games, it seems like. Or unless you have any more things that you wanted to mention, Chris.
I don't know. I just enjoyed walking around and getting free swag and checking out the games. SimCity. That was the big game I saw. Oh, I'm so excited for SimCity. That comes out in February.
How many SimCities are there?
Enough. There's SimCity, SimCity 2000, 3000, 4, and then the knockoff societies that shouldn't exist. And now they're rebooting the series with the developers that made the originals, which is good. Society was made by a different company.
How long have the Sim games been around?
SimCity was first released in 1989, so as far back as
that. That's a long time ago.
I have a question for everyone who is at PAX. I saw people walking around in Guild Wars 2 shirts. I look online, and apparently there's some code that was given away at PAX. And yet they're not on the exhibitor list. And they didn't have a booth, and I didn't see them anywhere. Does anyone know where the hell this stuff came from at PAX?
I have no clue.
I didn't see anything Guild Wars 2, except I just saw people walking around with swag from it.
Who makes Guild Wars 2? Is it BioWare?
ArenaNet.
Oh. I don't know. Did they have a booth for something else? Did they have a partnership with somebody?
No, they didn't. I don't think they were just there at all.
That's it. Yeah, it was weird because
I mean, well, you could play Guild Wars 2 on at Boost, just not ArenaNet Boost. There was a booth where you could play Guild Wars 2 with 3D glasses. And that was kind of cool.
It could have been at one of like the shirt stands or something, because there were plenty of those.
I mean, the people who make SimCity didn't have their own booth. SimCity was playable at an NVIDIA booth.
Oh, it could have been there, because there was some PAX exclusive code that like I didn't even know about until after PAX was over. But yeah, I was looking forward to that game, like seeing it at PAX again for months, but then they weren't there, so that was sad. Yep.
All right, so I think we've exhausted everything, so let's talk a little bit about Halo. We are going to touch more on this on some other podcasts coming in this week and the next week. But just general thoughts on what you guys saw. The main thing that got released for PAX Prime that everyone wanted to play was CTF on Exile. So Exile is kind of a big team map, not really. The game type was 5v5, capture the flag, so it's more of a medium-sized map.
It did feel like it is going to make for a good big team map, as like it was just big enough to where it allowed me to explore around the map without being shot at, but it was just small enough.
Until there was a tank.
Until there was a tank and, you know, Goshawk to the face and Banshee and all of that fun stuff, but like it was just small enough that there was action happening at some point on the map at all times.
Yeah. And one of the interesting characteristics about that map is it looks big, but when you actually play it for a little bit, it actually feels smaller. And then once you get into like the Banshee, then it feels even smaller.
Yeah.
Because you can't fly much anywhere with the Banshee, except in the loop that the map has. But there are a lot of like inner passage ways that you can run around and get into small firefights and run the flag. So I thought that map was a lot of fun. What do you guys think?
That map was really fun. I was just glad that there was like driving on it. Really fun. Like yeah. That's what I did the entire time on that map, was get into any vehicle I could find and drive around and try and get the flag with it.
Yeah.
So did you manage to get in every vehicle?
I think I did.
So Tank, Banshee, Ghost, Goshawk, and Chain Gun Hog.
Yes.
And Mongoose.
Yes. There's a video of me getting in the Mongoose and the Goshawk.
So what did you think of the firing rate on pretty much all the vehicles being slower?
I don't know. I didn't really even notice.
The pistol felt really boom, 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 like faster. Had a faster
Which
fire
one?
Rate.
The one that you had while you carried the flag, or the secondary weapon one?
The secondary one.
All right. I don't know. I didn't really have a chance to see if those actually were the same or if they felt the same.
They did feel the same. I was just like, wait, aren't those the same?
I mean, I would assume they are the same.
Weapon? Because they did feel the same. Although, I didn't really get the chance to look when I actually picked up the flag, but
I didn't either.
I'm fairly sure that the Magnum has infinite ammo upon picking it up.
For the flag, yes.
For the flag. I'm not entirely sure, though. Someone can feel free to correct me.
I think you're probably right. Or there was no HUD element that indicated otherwise.
It was just, ooh, you have a pistol.
Right. Yeah. As far as, yeah, the pistol with the flag, I thought that was a very cool addition.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. You feel like a total badass wielding the flag now. Yeah.
And like, a lot of competitive players don't like that you can't drop the flag, but I think it's actually going to drive for a lot more teamwork.
I like the auto pickup, and I like not being able to drop the flag, but having them both together, I feel like it should be one or the other, because I mean, with the auto pickup, it's nice because you don't run into that situation where there are weapons, you know, surrounding the flag, and you're like, no, I want the flag. No, I want the flag, not
but
the
I mean,
VR.
That's when the flag should just overrule the weapons, and...
Yeah, but...
I'm personally of the opinion that the auto pickup should go away. I like the idea. Granted, it is nice to drop the flag, and I would like to have it that way, but I like the idea of once you get the flag, you cannot drop it. I do like that idea.
Yeah.
Because it forces you to work better as a team.
You just have to hold down a button when you're trying to catch an objective or something. Which, throwing the odd ball, yes, games of catch. I can actually play them for real. Well,
that's gonna change Griffball, a bit.
Griffball is gonna be changed very drastically.
Yes.
It's gonna be intense. I cannot wait.
So it's just the ability to throw a ball like a grenade. Well, similar to a grenade. It's not the same.
Yeah.
In terms of physics.
Like in Griffball, being able to just smash the ball around, basically like playing hockey. I mean.
Right. Well, I was talking to Daft yesterday, and he couldn't be on tonight because he has homework. He started school yesterday. But you can almost do basketball now with it too, because you can basically pass the ball. And if there's the ability to have weapons down, then I don't know, people could basically punch someone for the ball or something. And if they get them, then they can pick up the ball and run down the court or something. Yeah. I don't know. But it just seems like there's more with a lot of these characteristics that's coming out that you're going to be able to do kind of more of that sporty stuff and probably do some other stuff that we haven't even begun to think of yet.
I definitely foresee throwing and catching montages for Halo 4 in the future.
One of the things that I want to see come back is basically that insane game type. Have the ability to have those crazy custom games that were only available because Bungie was nice and they released that insane game type. Because I think that's almost a must now for Halo. Is being able to go in to alter all those crazy settings. Because even though Reach hasn't been that popular, it's been one of the core things for making great custom games, in my opinion.
Yeah, what I heard is that they are trying to implement as many custom options as possible to allow this to happen. I mean, there wouldn't be, custom, trait zones in Forge or anything like that if they didn't want to push being able to create your own games and have this customizability. I mean, that's one thing I've noticed with all of just the general aspect of Halo 4 is that they're trying to create it to be as customizable as possible, and not having those crazy game types being custom games would just not be right.
Agreed. I agree with that a lot. Did any of you get to play Haven? They were doing Rich Side in Haven.
I did, yeah.
I don't know the names of the maps, so...
So Haven is the one that was Wraparound. The one in the clouds, the white one.
It is possible.
It is possible that you have played it?
it's possible.
You don't know if you have or not?
Nope.
All right. What did you think of Regicide on Haven? Because Haven was actually the only map I didn't get to play. Well, granted, there was only Exile on Haven, but I didn't get a chance to play Haven. Yeah. And I wasn't at any of the other events, so I have not played Adrift or Longbow.
There were many situations where I thought there was a shortcut to the bottom of the map, and rather it was a shortcut to instant death, as I found myself jumping right off the map.
Is that the one where it's all made of, it's all steel and, red pipes.
No, that's Adrift.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what I've
Haven's played. The one that's kind of like the semicircle with two levels on the outside, and it has the lifts to the middle with the weird pillar-looking things.
Okay.
I'm going to take that as he's not sure, or he doesn't know.
I'll pay more attention in the future.
As of this morning, before I wrote my massive novel-length write-up of Halo 4, I didn't know the names of the maps either, so don't feel bad.
Tisk tisk.
Yeah.
Tisk tisk.
Stop it. I'm sorry.
Bad man.
So, new weapons that we got pretty much from playing on Exile. that weren't really announced before, but now that we've seen them in there, there is the concussion rifle. It's yes. making its return.
Yes.
I think that's a fan favorite for some. I think people that do not like Dino Blasters really does not like the concussion rifle, which personally, I think Dino Blasters is a blast.
I see what you did there.
Yes.
I don't get it.
There's also the beam rifle. That's making its return.
I'm excited for
the Covey Sniper. There is the pulse grenade, which is the Promethean grenade. So you throw it and I actually never got to use it, but from what I can tell, it's basically that, like, once you throw it, it teleports, and I think I remember hearing this somewhere too, but it teleports to where you throw it, whether it's on a person or it's on the wall or something. And then it's basically like an EMP zone. So if you go in there, or if a vehicle goes in there, then it zaps your shields or stalls your vehicle. And it has a field effect for about, I want to say, 4 seconds. I didn't have a chance to time it, but there's gameplay videos out there, and there are plenty of pulse grenades on the map. So I'm sure if you go watch a full length video of someone playing, you will likely see it. So, what else was there? We had all the Promethean weapons. Someone said they actually had I think they said they saw the Promethean rockets.
This from PAX is the first time that I heard that it was there, but I didn't get the chance to see
them. I do remember hearing people actually got it, but I never got it myself, and I don't think many people did. And I don't know what it's called either. Off the top of my head.
The Prometheans are Forerunners, right?
They're class of Forerunners.
Yeah, they're a class of Forerunner.
They're the warrior race, right?
Yes.
I read the first Forerunner.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. That's good.
So we have basically the light rifle, which is the equivalent of like the DMR. We have the scatter shot, which is the shotgun. We have the bolt shot, which is basically the pistol, which I actually didn't get to use. So from what I heard, if you actually get a body shot with an overcharged shot from the bolt shot, it's an instant kill. Is that right?
You're supposed to charge that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
I almost described it as like a pistol Mahler combo, I guess you could say.
Well, the charging aspect kind of reminded me of the plasma pistol.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I didn't get my hands on it enough to really make a determination or get a feel for it.
I used it wrong, so I can't really talk about it.
All right. There was the scatter shot. No. What was the SMG-like one?
Storm rifle.
Storm rifle, that's it. There was the storm rifle, which is basically like an assault rifle or a plasma rifle. And then...
Actually, it's more like a plasma repeater. It felt kind of useless, but it worked like a plasma repeater.
Okay. Alrighty. And then the rocket launcher, looking off the first page of Google search, it says incinerator cannon, but I don't think that's actually the official name for it.
That sounds familiar. Yeah, I've heard people have...
I'm going to look up the ordnance right now while we're doing that. So, let's see. Weapons, armor. So, there are lots of videos out there for the armor and the emblems and stuff. So, you guys can probably find out all that information. We'll go into detail into more of it in a show later this week or next week. But there's a lot of stuff. I mean, there's what, like 38 different helmets or something like that?
There's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of helmets, there's a lot of shoulder pads, there's a lot of everything. So there's plenty of customization in Halo 4 that you do not have to worry about at all. Colors are pretty much default. I don't remember seeing an avatar video yet, or an emblem video. So I don't think there's been one of those out. so far.
I haven't, no.
Two things.
If not, then we'll probably see one come up eventually.
Two things I looked for and didn't see were robot arms and armor effects. Did anyone else see those?
I didn't, no.
No, not so, robot arms.
Did you, anyone else see armor effects? Are those, like, gone?
I didn't see them, but, I mean, I would like to have the Grunt Birthday Party scroll back, because that one's just so much fun.
It's annoying if you use a headset. Every time somebody dies, you're just like, yay!
It's,
yay! And you're like, oh,
it's so
God,
much fun.
Bye.
I wouldn't play it any other way. It's part of my experience now.
It makes it fun, though, because whenever I'm playing with certain members on my team, I can tell who died because they're the ones who use it. It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's annoying, but it's fun.
Well, I guess this is just from me playing, but it seems like at least 30% of everyone is using the Grunt Birthday Party skull for their armor effect. Or the Grunt Birthday Party armor effect, I guess that's what I should say. So it's not like too out of the ordinary. Granted, I know armor effects is one of those things where it's like it's really not needed, but it'd be cool to have, in my opinion, at least the Grunt Birthday Party one back.
Yeah.
Inclement weather is okay. Pestilence, I could do without that, and the hearts one.
If one came with the like super legendary edition again, that'd be cool. I liked that.
I mean, what other armor effects would you even put in there if it was still in the game?
I don't know.
All the ones from Reach and More. I mean, there's so many effects you could do. That'd be so cool.
And more.
Super Saiyan Spartan.
Do something with, like, a Promethean effect.
Oh, my God. I want one where every time I sprint, it goes honk, honk, like the Warthog. That'd be cool.
Wow. All right. That would get annoying very fast. I think that would be more annoying than the Grunt Birthday Party.
Honk, honk.
It'd give your position away, that's for sure.
That's very true.
It'd be great.
So when you'll be constantly hearing horns throughout the entire match.
It's like you're sneaking up on a sniper and you're about to run in and like assassinate him and he just hears
this honk.
But it's already too late. You're coming in at a force unimaginable. Plow through him.
Yeah, whatever. What'd you guys think of having the music playing while you were running the flag and during like that last standoff?
I loved
it.
When it
was tied.
I absolutely loved it.
It was cool.
I thought it was a nice touch. I'm not sure from a competitive standpoint how they're going to really view it, but as far as it didn't seem to interfere too much with the rest of the game audio. Now, granted, when I played it, it was in a room with a lot of other people. So once I get the game for myself in November and actually have a chance to play it on my own TV in my own room without anyone else there, then I'll be able to kind of see how it affects the rest of the gameplay. But as long as it doesn't interfere with being able to play the game. So, like, I know for a lot of people that have, like, nice Astros or Turtle Beaches or Tritons, that you usually rely on those to hear footsteps. So if that music covers that up, that is going to be a problem for a lot of people.
I would imagine
just turn off music.
That's what I was thinking. That was what I was just about
to
say.
So they're not talking about custom game stuff at all right now.
No, like in-game under, you know, audio-visual settings.
Oh.
Where you select,
I don't
know. You
know. That'd be an interesting thing to look into when the game comes out.
I'd imagine if that setting already exists, like in Halo Reach or whatever, that most pros just have it turned off by default for the footsteps and stuff.
Well, there's not a setting for that.
There isn't?
No.
Damn.
The only audio settings is for matchmaking voice. That's the only audio settings that there are for Reach.
Oh, that's not very many.
Nope, it's not.
Yeah, that'd be nice to have an option then to turn it off just for them or for anyone who doesn't like music or even for people who like listen to other music while they play.
Right. Oh no, we'll see what happens when they release the game.
Yep.
So, okay. And then there was also Spartan Ops. Did anyone get to go over there? I actually watched some people play it and they were actually doing it was the E3 build and they're just showing the first chapter of the first episode off, so it's not
I heard
like,
I heard it was like midway through, not the first.
No, I think it's the first chapter in the episode.
To Google.
I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's the first chapter of the first episode. And that was at the...
That was at the Mad Cat booth.
Was it the Mad...
It was the Mad Cat booth.
Okay. Because it was actually, like, right in the middle of the bridge, connecting the convention center to the annex. So... Yeah, and did any of you guys go upstairs to the sixth floor for the shops and stuff? Because I meant to make it up to the RT booth, but I never did.
RT booth was on the main floor this year. It was just on the other
half. Oh, it was?
Yep.
Where was it?
Over by Twitch TV and I think kind of by Alienware. They were over in that area. So on the opposite half from Halo, like at the back of that half of the room.
Huh.
They were over there with...
Oh, wait. Okay, I remember. They were... Okay, they were over on... Like, actually in the convention center, not on the annex side where Xbox was.
Yeah.
All right. That's right. I do remember walking by their booth, but it was on Sunday, so they basically had, like, no merchandise left. Like, literally, all their... I think all their shelves, but except for, like, two or three shelves, was empty.
Yeah. Good news for them.
Good news... Yeah, good news for them. Still waiting to see that... the stage used for a video feed for the podcast, but in due time, I think we'll see that coming.
They said the date at their panel, I don't remember what it was, like September 7th or 17th or something, sometime in September.
All right. And I also heard that they announced their RTX for 2013 at their panel, which I didn't get to go to either.
Yeah, they did.
So that is June. I don't have the date in front of me.
Blue
calendar. I think it is June 14th through or 15th and 16th. Does that sound right?
Could be. Is it 2 days or 3 days this year? I don't remember.
I think it's two. I think it's still two.
Okay.
I don't remember the announcement exactly. Yeah. So. All right, so was there anything else you guys wanted to bring up before we close out the show?
That November can't get here soon enough.
I know, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
So ready for Halo. That
Halo 4 looks awesome, and 343 is a really cool company that cares about their community. That's about it.
Yep. Halo Fest was a big proof of that, so...
I want to say a personal thanks again just to BS Angel because she helped us out with some stuff this year and she was super nice.
That's oh my God. About it.
Yeah, seriously, big thanks to 343 and everybody from there for just putting on, for making my first PAX experience an unforgettable one.
You should have been there for Halo Fest.
Oh my, yeah.
Crazy.
Sitting back on my computer and watching it through Twitter, I was like, I wouldn't be there.
I know, right? And now it's over. The funny thing is, it's like the 3 days, it almost feels like 2 weeks just because of like how much fun you're having. But then if you look back on it and look at how short it was, it's like, it's already over? This isn't possible? How is this possible?
I was up there for 2 weeks and I'm still like, I can't believe I'm back home. Why is this...
Yeah, it's crazy. But if you guys have not gone to PAX before,
do it.
The game, yeah, it's definitely something you want to look into doing. If not for the games that are there, like to play all the demos and stuff, just for the social aspect, because PAX is more of a social convention than it is for games and stuff. Like you go during the day and. You go play Halo or go look at some of the games, but then in the afternoons and at night, it's when you really have time to connect with people that you play with online.
And that's what made it so unforgettable was I got to meet up with you and everybody else that prior to this, I had only known through, you know, Xbox Live or Halo Waypoint or Twitter. And initially, it was so weird being able to just discuss this face-to-face with people who actually understood what I was talking about, But then later on, I was just like, wow, this is incredible. They actually do understand what I'm talking about. And, you know, we can have this conversation. Just, you know, we were walking down the street talking about Halo. And if I were to do that with any of my other friends, they'd think I'm nuts. And just the social aspect and, you know, hanging out at dinner with everybody or, you know, staying up all night talking to everybody. The common stereotype of gamers being antisocial, PAX just blows that out of the water.
Indeed. So, I will probably be at PAX East 2013. Still not sure yet. Once the passes get out, I probably will buy one just in case I do decide to go. And hopefully avoid the sellout that happened for PAX Prime. Possibly get a media badge and, we'll see from there. PAX East is in Boston, as it was this year, so they have not announced a date for it yet, right?
I don't think so.
Although, you could probably call the convention center and find out. Possibly. But, alright. So, with that said, thank you guys for coming on. PAX was a lot of fun. If you were not there, I am sorry that you missed out, because Halo 4 is awesome and we all can't wait for Halo 4 to come out, especially with some of the stuff that we got to see. And you guys will not be disappointed.
It's the best.
Yep.
Indeed. Alright, so tomorrow we're doing another special recording of Modtacular. It's going to be episode number 2. For those of you who don't know, we did the Modtacular for PAX East, where it's basically the Waypoint Modcast and Podtacular get together and have a nice, big, long show talking about PAX and what happened. So make sure you tune into that shortly after this podcast comes out. And we will be having quite a few podcasts for the next 2-3 weeks or so, because with a lot of the stuff that came out for Halo 4, we want to dig into some of the details there. Talk about the Halo 4 panel and really dig into the stuff that 343 has put out for us over this last week. Thanks again to Halosaurus.
Yeah, man. Thank you for inviting me on. It was
or Crazed nice by default.
Sit back and chat.
Very nice. Midget Dance.
Thank you.
Thank you. And see him near.
See ya.
All right. Bye.
Catch you guys later.